Thank the Lord for another opportunity to be in the house of the Lord. I want to make heaven my home, don't you? There's a little tag right up here to fix to the pulpit, and it says, "Sirs, we would see Jesus." I want to see Jesus, don't you? I want to see Him in this life, and I want to see Him face to face in whatever type of body that the Lord gives us in the end. I want to see Him in peace. I want to make it. I'm a human being just like everyone else that's here. I'm still fighting the fight. I still have places that I need to grow. Sometimes I falter. But I'm pressing on. And I want to make heaven. The Lord wants us to make heaven. Jesus wants us. He wants us to finish the course. He doesn't want us to give up. He wants us to be aware of those things that would hinder us. And He doesn't teach us about those things that would hinder us to try to discourage us with them. But the Lord provides us with warnings and exhortations as a help so that we can make it home. So that He can be with us in life. So that we can experience the hope of the gospel here in this life. The Lord has seen fit to give us another year. By the grace of God, we have another year ahead of us. Last Sunday, we spoke a little bit on the subject of resolutions and how that oftentimes people's resolutions fizzle out because they lack unwavering purpose. Their purpose wavers. And because of that, it doesn't take long, and often people's resolutions, they fizzle out. Well, one of the reasons for spiritual wavering, there's a lot of resolutions that are made that aren't necessarily spiritual in nature. One of the reasons that spiritual resolutions waver is because we have too much care for the temporal. We place too much care on the offerings of this world. And because of that, the resolutions that we then have for eternal things sometimes get pushed to the side, and they get choked out, making them thereby unfruitful. Well, this morning, by the help of the Lord, I'd like to return to the parable of the sower that we have been studying. It's been two or three Sundays since we have been in the 13th chapter of Matthew, but I'd like to return and consider the nature and danger of thorns. That's the next item that we come to. We've talked about the wayside. I want to talk about thorns today. Matthew 13, and this is not a very long parable, so let's just read it again. It said, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship, and He sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore." Jesus had an opportunity to speak to the multitudes. He was only on earth for 3 years. He didn't have just a lot of time to preach the gospel. And this was a day that The multitudes were there to hear him. And this is what he chose to teach them about. And because of that, I am interested this morning in understanding and hearing what it was that the Lord wanted us to hear. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went forth to sow, a sower of truth. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places. We've talked a little bit about stony places too, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. Some seed. Good seed. Seeds of truth. And it was cast out for all. And some of it, as it was delivered, it fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then other seed fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. If you have ears to hear, hear what it is that Jesus taught. Have you ever got caught in thorns? I did the other day. I got caught in thorns. And you know what I did? I'll tell you what I didn't do. I didn't pay any attention to what it was I was trampling on underneath my feet. When the thorns got a hold of me and captured me, I lost all awareness of what it was underneath my feet. Didn't know what I was trampling on, whether it was good things or whether it was an anthill that was going to get me into more trouble. Those thorns had my full and undivided attention. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Haven't you got caught by thorns? They're nasty little creatures. And thorns are like that. Thorns, it doesn't take a lot of them. Sometimes it seems like the smallest patch of thorns. Sometimes a single vine. Have you ever been walking through the trees? Just trees, just vines. And all of a sudden you're caught and it was a single strand and it had thorns on it. And you forget all about everything else but the thorns that have now latched on to you. That's the way thorns are. When I was a child, I think I was six years old. Do we have anybody that's 6 years old in here? We got some that are close. I was 6 years old and we had a large briar patch in the back part of our property. Well, they were blackberry vines is what they were. And there was a lot of them. Now, when you're six and you're looking at them, it looked like a lot to me. I don't know how many were actually there, but when I was looking at them, there was a lot of them. And I looked at them. And I thought, you know what, that would be really cool if I could make a fort in there. Because there's a lot of them, and if I could make a fort, and I could make tunnels that go through it, and then establish a den, you know, I could go in there and take care of important matters. And I'm hidden. And nobody knows, you know, necessarily where I am, that would be really cool. And so, start to make a fort in the thorn patch. Have you ever done that before? Probably smarter than I am. You know what I found out? It's hard to have a fort in the midst of a thorn patch. You know why? Because no matter what you do, the thorns get to have a part of it. They're there everywhere you turn. When you make a fort in a thorn patch, I'm talking about. You know, where your four walls and your ceiling and your floor is thorns. They have a lot to say about what goes on in your fort. When you go forward, they're there. When you try to go backwards, they're there. When you go to the right, there they are. When you go to the left, there they are. And the important matters that you have to deal with as a six-year-old in a thorn fort are mostly preoccupied with thorns. See, thorns mostly don't work with you. Thorns mostly work against you. And so, if you want to work and do matters of great importance, like I wanted to do, you either have to give them a lot of space, continuously work with them and be distracted by them, or get rid of them. Or get rid of them. Then it's not a thorn fort anymore. Something else. But those are kind of your options, because thorns are that way. And the Lord understood thorns. He understood this. That if you're going to make your fort in thorns, if you're going to have your life lived where you incorporate thorns as the walls and your ceiling and your floor, he understood that thorns exert control over you. They have a way of capturing your full attention. Thorns have a way of dictating how you're going to spend your time, what you're going to think about, what you're going to do next. And they can capture your undivided attention. And then what happens is that resolutions that you may have to do good, to spend time on important matters, those resolutions waver. Because thorns take up an extra large portion of space in your mind and in your body. And the Lord understood this, and so he used thorns as an illustration. And I hope this morning you're getting the idea of thorns. Well, what was it that he said? And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked them. The seeds, the good seed. Thorns sprung up. They didn't waste time. They didn't waste any time in posing their will and their presence. They were there from the beginning. And when the seed was sown amongst them, the thorns sprung up and choked them out. That's what this said. Well, the earth was perhaps plowed. The seed was received and heard. We'll read that in a second, verse 22. Jesus said that the seed was sown, it was heard, it was received. But the thorns that were there, they sprung up and they just choked out all the good that could have come from the good seed that was sown and heard and received. Well, let's listen to what it said. What kind of thorns was the Lord talking about? Verse 22. He also that received seed, this is when the Lord began to explain what he meant by thorns. So I want to know what kind of thorns the Lord was talking about. So in verse 22, he said, "He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word." So the seed was sown, the word was heard. We're hearing the word this morning. "And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choked the word, and he becometh unfruitful." It wasn't that the person that heard the seed, heard the word, wasn't that the person that received the seed didn't agree with it, didn't want to live according to it, didn't mean that you are a bad person, and this seed just has no way of finding any place in your heart because you have no desire for it. I don't think that that's what he was talking about. The seed was received and it was heard. It was just that there was so many other things that they just couldn't seem to separate themselves from. There was just so many other things that were latched onto them. We latch onto things. Thorns latch onto us. Things latch on. Have you ever looked at a thorn? When I was studying this lesson, I thought, does a thorn look like I think it looks? So I looked at some images of thorns. Did you know that some thorns have a little subtle curvature to it? What happens when you get stuck with a thorn and you try to pull it out? Are you able to just extract it real easy? Oh, it got in my shirt. Let me just pull it straight out. They have this way of they get in there and then they latch on and they grab you. And so that when you try to take it away, it hurts and it pulls and it snags. And as you're dealing with that one and you start to move, that one down there starts to work. And then when you turn to get to that, one grabs you in the back and the one in your arm's still there. And they latch on. It's not that you have no care for what's on the ground around you. Maybe there's some flowers and some good things. It's just that there's all these other things that have latched onto you. You hear what I'm saying this morning? You see where this is going? It's a temptation to all of us. It's real. And it's real that we need to be on guard. Jesus said in the 21st chapter of Luke and the 34th verse, "Take heed unto everybody else." Is that what it said? No. It said, "Take heed unto yourself, lest at any time your hearts," not everybody else, you, "your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting," a lack of moderation, drunkenness, intoxicated. We can get intoxicated with lots of things, not just alcohol. We can get just intoxicated with so many things, overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and what else? Cares of this life. Jesus said, "Take heed unto yourself, lest at any time, all of a sudden, your hearts be overcharged with cares of life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may escape all these things that shall come to pass. Stand before the Son of Man." Jesus was warning us, not because he was trying to discourage us or cause us to feel overwhelmed, because we know there are so many things in life that latch on to us and that we have a desire to latch on to. It's because he loves us and he cares for us and he wants us to experience life. So he just says, well, just take heed, be careful, watch out. And this verse 22 that we read said, the thorns is he that heareth the word. And then he describes it. And the care of this world. In the English language, the word care means different things. The word care means that you love something and you have an affection for something. And care also means anxiousness. That we can become over anxious with the offerings of the world. And that seems to be the interpretation of this word. We can become enveloped with anxiety. We can become overcome with anxiousness because of all the offerings of the world. And you know what's really strange about that? Is that at the very same time, all of those offerings of the world also can tend to draw our love and our affection. Sometimes the very things we become anxious about are the very things that we love. Some people are intoxicated with being anxious, as odd as that sounds. And I think that the definition works both ways. It's brought out in the scriptures that the Lord wants us to be careful that we don't have too much care of this world. The Lord does not want us to be overly anxious and to be enveloped by anxiety because of all of the things that go on in this world and in our lives. Because it can choke out the promises and the joy and the presence of the Lord because we allow those thorns to come up and just choke it out because we have so much anxiety. We turn this way and our anxiety turns our head this way. And then we begin to give our attention to that, and then there's something over here, and we just can become so anxious that the promises of the Lord and the joy of the Lord and light and truth was all there to be enjoyed, but we allowed ourselves to become entangled with anxiety of all sorts of things. And at the same time, we can care too much about the world and its offerings. In other words, we love it too much. We want it too much. We go after it too much. We place too much value on it. The care of this world. It said, I like things in this world. You know, sometimes we can, maybe as a young person, we like, well, they're always preaching about, you know, don't love the world. Don't love the world too much. God created the world. I believe that the Lord would like us to enjoy ourselves in life. He is a God, the scripture says, where all good things come from the Father of lights. He is a good God. He has given us so many things to enjoy. And I enjoy them. And I don't believe that the Lord, Sister Tammy brought some of this out in Sunday school. I don't believe that the Lord wants us to go through life. And it's just always, our focus is always on all the burdens and all the things. And then if we don't have a cross, we look to make up a cross. Almost as if that's a more spiritual thing to do. The heavier the cross, the more spiritual it is. It's not very spiritual if the Lord's not the one that gave you the cross. That's not a spiritual thing. Those aren't spiritual crosses. Those are crosses that the enemy would like to impose on us. The Lord, yes, gives us crosses to carry. But they are crosses that result in a joy. Life that comes as a result of carrying something. And the Lord was able to see the joy on the other side of that cross. and He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to enjoy the good things that He has done for us, but He doesn't want us to love the temporal things of life too much. Yes, we live in the world. Yes, we're involved with things of the world. Just don't become entangled with them. Because if we love them too much and we have too much care and too much affection, then what happens is we allow the things of this life that are eventually going to go away and they're going to burn, they end up latching onto us. And thorns and briar patches have a way of just growing. Have you ever noticed that? If there's one or two strands of thorns, you need to get rid of it, because if you leave it there and then you come back, there's going to be some more. And pretty soon they're prolific. And it's like that when we begin to allow thorns to attach themselves onto us. The things of this world. And it's not always sin. You know what? We're speaking as brothers and sisters here this morning. I don't believe I'm preaching to people that are just out trying to willfully sin and have all this sin in our lives. But there's so many things in the world that are not sin that we can allow to latch onto us like thorns and allow them to have too much of a place in our lives. And we can't extricate ourselves from them very easily, nor do we want to sometimes, because we're attracted to them. We have a care for the things of this world. And we begin to trample on good things, and we don't even realize it because we're so taken. We're so consumed. We're so captured by these thorns. Jesus is the one that illustrated them as thorns, not me. Jesus did. He said that thorns were as the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. The deceitfulness of riches. And sometimes riches come in a form that is more than just dollars and cents. But we can try to become rich in other things in life that eventually are going to pass away. And the reason it's deceitful is because they promise so much and deliver so little. I know that sounds cliche, but you know what? It's true. And it was true back then when Jesus said it, and it's still true today. It's still that way. Do we have places in our lives this morning? Jesus wants this to be personal. Do you have places in your life today that take on an oversized portion of your mind and your time and your heart? Not that it's sin, but it's like a thorn that has latched on, that it's like if you go forward, there it is. If you go backward, there it is, right or left. It's so much a part of you that it begins to interfere with light and truth and good things. We allow these things to latch on to us, and we allow them to remain present while at the same time we're willing to turn away from the good ground, from the possibilities, from the potential, from the word of the Lord, from light and truth, and allow it to become displaced by thorns that will eventually just be consumed and go away. Do you have anything like that in your life? Jesus warned us about it because in the 21st chapter of Luke, because it can come so quickly without you almost realizing it. And so he warns us, take heed, lest at any time. Yeah, well, I've been saved for a long time. I've been saved for all these years, and I go to church, you know, each Sunday, and I live a good life. Take heed unto yourselves, lest at any time the enemy may not tempt you with sin, but he's really good at latching onto you with non-sinful things in a way that captures your undivided attention to the point that you begin to trample on and or do without the things that tend to life and godliness. Deceitfulness of riches, the wisdom of the world. Unfortunately, we are, it just seems like we're unable without the Lord's divine help to recognize quickly enough that the things that we invest in the world, and again, I invest in the things of the world too. I live in the world just like everyone else does. But we can invest too much. And we can believe that if we invest a little bit more, we'll get a little bit more back. And if I give it just a little bit more, I might get a lot back. And pretty soon, we have given ourselves to investing in temporal things that are just going to go away. It's not that we can't enjoy things of life. Just don't invest to the point that it gets in the way of life and truth and the seed that is sown to be able to take root and grow and flourish in your life so that you can make matter what matters in life. That's what the Lord wants us to get a hold of. May the Lord open our eyes of understanding that we not allow light to be choked out by thorns, causing it to become dark in our lives, and then we walk in darkness knowing not whether we go. I remember years ago, somebody at work told me, they said, yeah, can't remember who it was. They said it was a friend or their wife, I can't remember who it was. They went out to eat, and they went to this place that was dark inside. It was dim inside, and the woman left her purse in the restaurant, and they left and got in their car, and she realized that she left her purse in there and went back in there. Couldn't find it because it was dark. Dark in the restaurant. So whoever had the decision rights to do so, this restaurant was perpetually dark. That was how they had the restaurant. They turned the lights on so they could find the purse. And you know what they found when they turned the lights on? Neglect and filth and organisms busily at work that you wouldn't want to be at work where you're feeding. But people came. It seemed like a wonderful place. Food seemed good. Nice atmosphere. Dark. Knowing not what they ate of. Knowing not where they sat. And we look at that and we say, oh my. And yet the multitudes are doing that with their life today. You let things get a hold of you and the light of Christ begins to dim in your life. You say, nothing's wrong. I'm good. I feel okay. Don't see anything wrong with that. No, you probably don't see anything wrong with it. Because the light isn't on to show you the consequences. The light is not on to show you the reality of where you're living. And oftentimes without the Lord's help, it is too late before we realize and recognize I was invested in that too much and it was choking out what God wanted to give me. I want to allow the Lord room in my life I think about it this way. I have no desire to be consumed and wrapped up by a parachute that doesn't work as I race through life. And it seems like what the world says is, strap on this parachute. It looks good. It's applauded. Everybody agrees with it. It's accepted. And we envelop ourselves with things that we are depending on to give us life in life. Life in life. We depend on it. We wrap ourselves up in it. And we trust it. And it works really great. Until you hit the ground. Because it doesn't work. And we are racing through life. And we are making decisions what we are enveloping ourselves with. We're making decisions on what we are trusting in to preserve life. And when I get to the end of this life, and we are racing through life, I'm going to come face to face with God at the judgment. And I want to have wrapped around myself Jesus Christ and light and truth that I might be able to meet Him in peace. By the grace of God this morning, let's be willing to take time to honestly reflect and evaluate your life. My life. I'll evaluate my life. You evaluate yours. And ask yourself, do I have some thorns in my life that are choking out that which is good? And ask the Lord, Lord, help me. Because the good news of the gospel is that thorns have a way of latching onto us, but Jesus Christ came to help us disconnect. He came to give us power. He came to give us help and grace and strength that we might be able to disassociate, withdraw, bring a balance. Sometimes it's not completely doing away with something. It's coming back to center by the grace of God. And He came to help us do that. The Lord is calling us this morning. He's looking for the willing. And He said there's just going to be a few. Will we be part of the few? Will we be part of the number? No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Jesus has chosen us. Are we willing? Scripture says, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. My prayer this morning is that we be willing to hear, that we can be good ground, that we can offer up ground that is growing good things, the seed that is sown germinates and grows in our hearts and our life and multiplies good things. And by the grace of God, when I meet Him at the end, I'll have had good ground that He's able to work with, as opposed to ground that is just full of briars and thorns and entanglements that pass away. May God bless each one of you, is my prayer.